Why find peace in your heart by expressing love to someone, unconditional care to someone, forgiving and asking for forgiveness when you're dying? Why don't we do that right now? That's what I don't understand. This is all very beautiful. But why live peace, forgiveness, unconditional love when we are dying or when we're about to die and we have no choice? Why don't we do that right now? If that has such an effect on our mind and how we go while we're dying to forgive and to express love and to thank others, to give gratitude to others, if it's so important at the time that we're dying so that our mind be calm and easy, why? In the death and dying process, it is very important as an environmental condition that our minds are calm and the environment around us is calm so that it does not alert the mind in any way that triggers any type of negative karma. Example, if we run to a dying person who's very attached to money and say, oh, guess what? I know you hate me, but when you die, I've manipulated all the paperwork that I get all your money. It's going to disturb them. That's an environmental condition to make them very worried. And then this thought of money, all my hard work, and it's mine, and you're going to get it, all arises. It all arises, and it triggers all the karma that came in that person's life from being miserly, for chasing after money, and using that as a weapon. And all the fear that came along with that money will be triggered a whole lifetime. And therefore, what happens? They leave their state of mind they leave their body in a state of mind of avarice, greed, fear. That will trigger the further karma that they have stored in their mind for many lifetimes to take a new rebirth, that they will suffer from difficulties of money, or they might be born into money and suffer from the problems of having money. So he's saying, well, what's the difference? They already have that karma. There is a difference. Why? When the person is dying, even though they've been very greedy or avaricious or miserly in their whole life, we still don't wish them something bad. So when they're dying, instead of worrying them, we don't talk about things that raise money into their mind. We don't talk about it. So what happens? That karma stays dormant. That karma stays quiet so that person can take another rebirth, hopefully, and practice. So by practicing, that karma can surface in a conditioned environment where it doesn't have such a powerful effect, or it becomes purified. Example, if you have the karma to get a coat, a very nice coat, and you reincarnate in Alaska, it's going to be very, very helpful. But if you have the karma to have that coat and you reincarnate in the Sahara Desert and you have to wear it, it's going to be suffering. So having the karma to have something also is dependent on environment. So therefore, when you're dying, you need to keep the person's mind still and quiet. Why? To help them that the negative karma doesn't surface. And the positive karma surfaces. That doesn't mean the negative karma doesn't exist. It does exist, but not to make it open. Example, we all have viruses all over our body. But the minute the immune system comes down, it blows up. It blows up immediately. We get a sty. We get warts. We get flus, etc., etc. It just comes up. But if we sleep right, and we eat well, and we exercise, and we maintain ourselves well, the viruses cannot open up, or very few in between. Similarly, karma is like a virus. It will open up. It will definitely open up. It's always with us. So like that, it's very important to keep the mind of the person calm and quiet and happy. That is why in hospice practice, that is why in the care of the death, the dying, and the ones who are going to die very soon, it is very important to keep their mind still, keep their mind happy, and say things that make their mind very calm and quiet and happy. That is according to the Buddhist view of reincarnation and karma. But in normal means, if you don't believe that, by keeping the person's mind happy while they're dying, it's still a very beautiful experience for the giver and the receiver. Who wants to die with getting a slap? I hate you. You're horrible. You hurt me. Slap, 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 slap. Who wants to die like that? So like that, my thing is, why don't we go one step further? What happens if the person that we have hurt is not around for us to ask forgiveness? What happens if the people that are kind to us are not around for us to express our gratitude? What happens if the people that we have had some open karma or sore karma with is not around for us to make peace? Then how? What happens? So why wait for the time of death to say, I'm sorry? Why wait for your dying time to say thank you? Why wait for the time when you're dying to think, I should have my mind like that, I should think like this, I should be good like that, I should let go, it doesn't matter anymore. Why wait for that? If it's beneficial when we're dying, wouldn't it be more beneficial if we had that state of mind while we're living? Actually, none of us are living. All of us are in a state of dying. We're going closer to dying. Why do we keep talking about this? Because by talking about this, we will be able to live well. How do we live well? How? By talking about death and meditating upon death and focusing on that reality, it makes us forgive. It makes us let go. It makes us realize that this doesn't matter anymore. It means that people have hurt us doesn't matter anymore. We don't need to hurt anymore. We don't need to give hurt. And we need to say thank you. And we need to apply ourselves for the time we have left. Why? Because if we're dying, that's what matters. Is to have a happy state of mind and create happiness around us. How can we have a happy state of mind while we're dying? How? By creating happiness around us. And to make peace with the people that we don't have peace with. So we live a life of using people, breaking promises, lying, fooling, parasiting, fighting, arguing, wanting to win, justifying, covering. If we live a life of that, and at the time of death, how sincere will our I'm sorry or I thank you be? And even if it is sincere, think about it this way. How many years of it you've been living? And that last statement at the time of death, do you think that can override all the many years that you've been living opposite of what you've been saying? I'm sorry, Rinpoche, for not doing my commitments in practice. Of course, Rinpoche would say, fine. Unless he's Tsen Rinpoche, he'll say, aha, see you in hell. Only Tsen Rinpoche would tell you, see you in hell. Because that's where Tsen Rinpoche is probably going. But a real Rinpoche will say, oh no, it's okay, I forgive you. It's all right, never mind. But you see, it's not about him forgiving or not forgiving. If you pray to Mother Tara and say, forgive me, I received your initiation, I've been doing talk because I've been a lazy monster, and I've made other commitments more stronger than your commitment, and then you say, I'm sorry, Tara. Of course Tara will say, it's all right. She's so fabulous. She's not green with envy, she's green from compassion. Why is she green from compassion? Compassion expressed in the air element, meaning quickness and of giving siddhis and quickness to help. Quickness to help and quickness to assist others. That quickness is associated with wind energy. Wind energy in psychotherapy color is green. Therefore, Mother Tara is green. Very simple. So her green comes from enlightenment and love, not greed and envy. So if we say, I'm sorry to Mother Tara, I'm sorry I haven't been doing your talk or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I haven't been doing your sadhana because I've been too into myself. Of course she forgives you, but all the years you've broken your commitment, that karma will catch up. So my point is, why wait for near death or death to say I'm sorry or to make an effort or to say thank you or to make peace? Why? How many years of the karma we've collected? How much pain we have created in other people? And maybe there are people out there that have helped us so much and we didn't even say thank you, or people have to tell us, don't forget to say thank you, and then we thank them. And then we don't express our gratitude. How many years of that has that been?